Hello and welcome to the Bristol City Vixen Cast. This is a podcast all about Bristol City women and we play in the Women's Super League. My name is Nat Brown.
And my name is DM Withers and today's episode is incredibly exciting. Yes, Rachel Furness has become only the third ever Bristol City women player to join us for an extended interview on this illustrious platform. She joins Alex Colvin,
Ella Mastrantonio,
midfield maestros
and defensive dynamos,
and now the attacking prowess, the footballing majesty of Rachel Furness joins us with a few gum shields thrown in.
Absolutely, and she talks as well as she plays football, doesn't she?
Even better, I would say. So let's get to it.
So we're not at home in our studio today. We are here at the Robins High Performance Centre because we have a very special guest with us today. We're here with Rachel Furness. Woohoo! Thank you so much. How do we say your name?
Yeah, Rachel Furness.
Furness.
Yeah. I think people used to say finesse, and I was like, oh, it's a bit posh. Makes it sound a bit posher, but no, it's Rachel Furness.
But Fernie.
Yes, Fernie. Don't really answer to Rachel.
Fair enough.
So yeah.
Fernie. Okay, Fernie. Brilliant. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Fernie. It's amazing that you can join us. So yeah, we're gonna plow on and ask you some questions now, if that's okay.
Yeah, no worries.
Cool.
Okay, so my first question is from Georgia Forbes, who's 12 years old and who comes on the away coach with us. And her question is, what age did you start playing and how did you progress from grassroots?
Yeah, so I think, well, started playing when I could walk and kick a ball, really. Come from the northeast, so if anyone knows, they're mad crazy about football up there. So I've got two older brothers that weren't interested in playing, so my dad put a ball at my feet and off I went. So yeah, from a very, very young age, you know, 4 or 5, I'd say. And then just joined the school team with all the boys. I'm from a generation to where it's a lot different to what it is now. I grew up playing football with the boys. Kind of progressed until I think I was 13, 14, and then I got told that I wasn't allowed to anymore, so I had to join a girls' team, which, you know, I was like, oh my God, do girls even play football? Because I only knew of kind of me in the school. So yeah, joined my first girls team when I was 14, my local team. Had the chance to trial for Sunderland Academy. I went to the trials along with, you know, Jill Scott at the time, got in, but it just wasn't my kind of environment and vibe, I guess. I didn't really enjoy it when I went, so I just decided to stay with my local team and progress through there, which then had me playing women's football when I was 16. So I think that has helped me throughout my career, being introduced to women's football as young as I was. But yeah, just through the grassroots, I guess I am an example of, you know, if the academy route doesn't work out for some reason, it doesn't mean you still can't make it to the top. So yeah, that was kind of my journey in short.
Great.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, it's really interesting because I was told to stop playing at 11 as well. So kind of like it was pretty like, yeah, heartbreaking because we kind of had to like form teams.
Yeah.
So were there actually teams in your area though of girls playing?
There was not in my kind of surrounding area.
Yeah,
my parents couldn't drive at the time. So I was thankful the coach actually picked us up and took us to training. I think it was a 25-minute drive. You know, so I'm very fortunate that I had a great network around me, because if I didn't, then
that would stop there, wouldn't it?
I might not be sitting here today. So.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay, that's really cool.
In terms of the, I guess, the social attitudes around it at the time, did you feel like you were challenging things when you were playing football? Obviously, you had the encouragement of your father putting the ball at your feet. But
yeah.
Was it challenging?
I think I was quite lucky to where I was just kind of looked at the same in my group of friends. When I was at school, my teacher was very much putting me in with the boys and just kind of seeing me as someone who liked to play football. It kind of worked to our advantage when we played games and, you know, they put maybe the poorest member of the team to mark the girl. And then, you know, I showed them 2 seconds later that they should maybe have the best player on me. But no, I was very fortunate. I had a great network around me. So in my direct, network, it was quite easy. I guess it was just then the progressions of, you know, where do you go next from the local team, the local leagues, where do you go to progress and, I guess, play at the highest level you can, which didn't mean I didn't have the opportunity to say, move down to London, you know, where's the bigger teams now are picking up younger players. That kind of wasn't kind of on the radar or an option for me when I was younger to get spotted.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of the next stage, because you've been, you know, your career has kind of spanned this huge transformation in women's football and the kind of transition into professionalisation. Can you talk about that, just that kind of that process of becoming professional and being semi-professional, and just, I guess, the stage after, you know, how things developed?
Yeah, so, and, you know, I get asked the question all the time, do you wish you were 5-10 years younger to kind of, not reap the rewards now, but obviously the game is getting more professional, it's getting more sponsorship, more limelight, which is fantastic, but I'm very fortunate to have, you know, I've paid to play football, I've paid subs every week, I've paid for my own kit, to then become semi-professional and get an education alongside working and then playing football with that, to then become a professional with one of my local teams at the time, to then venturing down the country and playing all around the country. So I wouldn't change it one bit. It has been a journey, and the fact I'm still, I guess, in the game now, you know, is fantastic for me. I feel very lucky and fortunate to be. But it is great to have been part of that kind of movement in women's football and to be in it directly and see it and feel it. I guess keeps me humble. And then I then try and help the younger girls come through, keep them humble, keep them grounded, because I guess you can very much get carried away with how the women's game is progressing and how it's developing. So it's all about, for me, the hard work that comes first and keeping the kids humble. And then they've got a chance to go places.
Yeah, for sure. And it was interesting what you said about your education as well. So kind of you were able to kind of, there wasn't the like lure of professionalism at the time when you were trying to get your education. So I understand you got a degree, right?
And yeah.
Yeah. So at that time you were what, semi-professional? Or
yes.
What you, yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So you kind of, in some respects, you've ridden the wave in a really nice way, haven't you? So when, you know, when you wanted to go and get an education, you could go and get an education, play good football, and then after you've got your education, you can become a full-time professional and then still have a great long career as a professional. And you know, because I guess, I don't know, for some young kids, maybe there's like the decision to whether or not go and play or whether or not to kind of go and get a degree or something like that. It must be a difficult decision for like an 18-year-old now.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's where the league and the PFA are massive towards that. So they now offer education around football, which I think, you know, I encourage all the girls to do, even if they're unsure kind of what they want to study, to chuck themselves into something new, to keep their brain ticking as alongside playing football. Because, you know, I mean, I've been very fortunate to have a long career, but I know a few of my ex-teammates, the careers have just been taken away from them overnight through career-ending injuries, and then you fall on, what have I got? Whereas if you are doing some education alongside that or just learning something new, it's not to say go and do a degree, or, you know, you could even just be helping with media, just doing things, something that you may be passionate about as well and interested in. I think it's very important because the women's game, unfortunately, it's not the heights that the men's, so we kind of, if I retired now,
yeah,
I'd need
retire.
A job tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's
yeah.
kind of yeah. as cutthroat as that, so yeah. Something to fall back on, I think, is very important, and maybe I'm learning that as I've got older, but, you know, I'm maybe finding that out about myself now, and that's why I'm trying to help the younger girls to kind of show them that it is important to have something to fall back on.
Yeah, for sure. Amazing. I guess that leads into our next question. So congratulations on getting your UEFA B license. Thank you. Well done. So you got that just this year, right?
Yeah. it was a long time coming. I think it took us maybe a year longer than I wanted, ideally. But football and being in this professional environment always comes first. And I wasn't able, I guess, to do some coaching alongside that. But unfortunately, with being injured, fortunately, it allowed us kind of more grass time coaching. So I've tried to turn something quite negative into a positive. And so I've managed to get that over the line, which is good. Just to keep myself a bit sane whilst I'm not playing and try and give back a little, I think, is very important.
Yeah, so we were just listening to, is it The Guardian Women's Football Weekly? And Tanya Oxtoby was on there, and your name was mentioned in that you were over there doing some coaching with some of the age groups, or doing some work over there with Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Did you get, how did you get your UEFA B? Was that through, Bristol? Was that through Northern
Ireland? So, originally through Northern Ireland. Yeah. I actually started my UEFA B when I was at Liverpool.
Oh, right.
And, crazy transfer window. Find myself here in January. and I guess the focus was winning the league, kind of head down and focus on that. But start of the season, I've been able to work with the academy, so I guess a mixture. Northern Ireland are putting me through my coaching badges, but Bristol are giving me the opportunity to have the grass time. I'm coaching the ETC under 12s, which is fantastic. I'm learning a lot from the younger girls. It's quite challenging at times, yeah. But I think, it's just adding strings to my bow, which I think I need.
Brilliant. Well, if you can convince 11-year-olds to do things, then you've won in life. I'm a primary school teacher.
Okay,
teach year six, so 11-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, and they keep you, they keep your mind ticking over. You'll be like, how can I make them understand? How can I make them learn? How can I get? Yeah, it's fascinating. Like, I think it's like working with that age group is really
it's challenging, but it's good. I don't want to say learn and experience being a coach and it being easy. I guess I've got to go through a few tough times, and they're certainly challenging, but I enjoy it. They're a great bunch, and recently I'm working with Charlie in the under 21s academy, so I'm just helping out, leading a few sessions and just getting some experience with that. So it's very good to know. I mean, it's great to see the 21s that we've got. I say 21s, they're all 16, 17.
Yeah,
we've got a very young but exciting.
Because if you're 21, you've been playing in our first team for 4 or 5 years haven't you?
Yes, no, you're right. But that just shows how good our academy is and the development and the youth that we've got coming through. So, I'm doing that a few times a week at the minute. I'm very busy, but it's good busy.
Amazing. Okay, so I've got here about your coaching style. So how would you describe your style? Can you summarize that?
No, I think I looked at this question and I did actually. I was like, coaching style. Have I even got one yet?
Yeah.
I don't think I've got one yet. Yeah. I'm still, I guess, new to coaching. And I'm just kind of, I'm being a sponge to all the top coaches. So I'm watching, things that Lauren Smith, Lauren Dykes do, Nat Haig, and Tanya on an international stage. So I'm trying to be a sponge and then seeing kind of what I like and don't like to then put my own stamp on things.
For sure.
So I haven't got a direct answer for that yet. But I'm open, and obviously I want to learn and experience and develop it in time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And which kind of, so when you think about those kind of coaches, obviously you've named a few there, but over your career, when you think about being a sponge as a coach, as a player though, which kind of coaches are the ones that kind of stand out for you as when that coach did that, it was a real moment, or that coach brought the best out in me? Over your career, are there any coaches that you kind of can name as the ones that have really kind of helped you develop?
Yeah, I mean, obviously just most recently, I'd say Tanya is really stood out to me as, we've had honest conversations about where I am in my career. I'm quite open and honest to where, retirement's closer than it is just starting my career. I've got no kind of problem saying that, but she looks at me as a person as well as a player and thinks, how can I develop Rachel as a person? How can I help her develop off the pitch as a person and not just direct in kind of what she brings on the pitch, which I think has opened my eyes a lot. You know, coming to Bristol, having conversations with Smithy and just, you know, because people would maybe look at my age and go, oh, she's, you know, she can't learn, she can't develop, she can't do this. And I get it, but you never stop learning. No matter where, what stage you are in your career, there's always something you can learn and develop in. And for me, what I like as a player is someone that just sees me as a person and wants to still improve me. And as soon as I see that switched off, that's when you kind of know you've, yeah, you're not lost a bit, but, you know, I've seen that in a few managers I'll not mention, but, yeah, to where they've almost gave up on you. I think they can't get you to develop more because of age, say, which I think I'm going to take that into, say, my coaching, hopefully in years to come, management, to where I think of the person first, and I know I can always develop that, whether that, you know, I haven't got the best right foot. I'm not saying work on my right foot every day, but work on my strengths, so work on my left foot even more. Work on my brain. You know, it doesn't always have to be with the feet. It can be like, how can I challenge you with your mind? So, yeah, just the, I guess, the personal side of things. And women's football's small in compared to the men's football, you know, so we can be a lot more personal on that side of things. So, yeah, I think it's that in a whole.
Amazing. Cool. Thanks so much. Do you want to go, DM?
Yeah, great. So I want to talk about presence and presence on the pitch. So I think one of the things that all the supporters at Bristol City, all the City Women supporters, all recognise you as a player who's got amazing presence on the pitch. So I didn't know if you were aware of that.
I'm just loud. I'm just very loud.
I mean, I think that's what they mean. You're very, you know, like, noticeable. Yeah.
You know you're there. And yeah. Yeah, just wondered if that's something that you've gained through experience, or do you think it's something you've always had? Do you think that's sometimes players have a kind of presence to them that is intuitive, you know, not innate and natural, but it's just something they're kind of born with? Are you born with the presence, Fernie?
Yeah, I think I've been brought up to be quite vocal. And I think, yeah, throughout my career, I think I've always had a presence. I've always kind of brought something a bit different as a player. You know, I might not be the best technically, but I know I'll stick my head on a brick wall for the team. Like, and I think that just brings a little difference to myself as a person, as a player, and I kind of lead with that. So that kind of makes my presence bigger on a pitch, and I think that instills confidence and into the girls on the pitch. If that's me being vocal, if that's me cheering a tackle, the girls love that. And I guess it's maybe stood out more at Bristol since I've been here, because we are working with a very young squad, a very young, developing, such a talented squad. It's so exciting. And I guess my presence and just helping maybe steady the ship at times, or not let the girls get carried away, such that presence, but with experience, I think it's maybe stood out a lot more since I've been at Bristol.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think we've always not lacked it necessarily, but it's really obvious when that, like, that vocal person isn't there, or like over the years, like the people who have been really, really vocal at Bristol City have always kind of really stood out. So you kind of, you know, Mary Earps was here years ago, but she was
so gobby,
an absolute gob. Do you know what I mean? Just like wouldn't shut up throughout the entire game. Every thought was out loud, and it was really, you could see that she, like, in terms of presence, you know, like now you can see, like, wow, that's really kind of that's kind of a word people would use to describe her. So it's just like, yeah, we can still, like, obviously we can still hear you. We sit a few rows behind the dugout. So.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm kicking and heading every ball with the girls, and yeah, I just want to help. And yes, it's at the minute, you know, it's sadly on the sidelines, but you know, me and Rog, I have a minute before every game, because when we were playing at the start of the season, so I'd have to tell her to get her first tackle in within, say, a minute. Mm-hmm. And so before every game, I'm like, Rog, get that first tackle in, because she builds from that. Right. So I guess it's knowing your players, knowing the team. And if she's not done it on a Sunday, and so I have to shout on Rog, and then she just knows.
Okay.
So just, yeah, little things like that. And I mean, the girls love my vocal presence. And yeah, I want to be back out there. I want to be bringing it on the pitch. But yeah, if I can help a tiny little bit off the pitch, still be around the girls at training, gym. Yes, days are longer, but I just want to help. And yeah, I'm very frustrated at the minute. But I just want to help the team as much as I can. And so yeah, that's just using my voice at the minute.
Yeah. Yeah, I also think it's about kind of an embodied energy on the pitch. It's not just necessarily like being vocal. It's also about just having, you know, somebody who, I guess, knows, has been there and kind of can inhabit the space of the football pitch in a different way.
Yeah, I guess I've not been there, done that, but I've been in the, you know, the WSL for a number of years. And, you know, I think at the start of the season, I was playing little bits, and I was like, I'm kind of, my role I feel had changed this season, and I was like, you know, how can I just help the girls settle into the WSL, and then, you know, bow out, thank you, you're secure, girls, happy days. I'm happy, yeah. But then I started playing, and you know, all the girls kind of just lifted me as well. You know, we talk about what the presence I bring for the girls and the team, but they lift me so much. You know, I'm 35-year-old, I was starting in the WSL, and you know, you think, what? But I'm doing that because of the fantastic team I've got around me. Mm. So you know, it works both ways with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, their presence is just, I feel, as important to me as maybe mine is to them.
Mm. Yeah, because that first 45 in the Arsenal match, that was amazing. That was just, you know, an incredible,
yeah, take me back.
It was such a wild game, and I mean, gutted, yeah, that we lost it, but the whole energy of that whole
didn't
match
feel like a loss, did it?
We were losing it, and I think losing it for about a couple of weeks afterwards, we lost our heads, because it was, yeah, so exciting. But no, that performance from you, I think, was one of the best like 45s I've ever seen, you know, anyone in a Bristol shirt play. It was outstanding. It was just, it was electric. It was, you know, kind of possessed football.
Yeah, I did. I think I was a bit possessed that night. I maybe had too much caffeine. Let's just blame that. But no, like that, I guess we've kicked on in performances. I know, say, results-wise, it might not look that, but performances-wise, you know, we're pride ourselves on being better each week, and I think we are getting better, and results are going to come. I've got full belief in the team and in the squad. And you look at maybe Bristol last time though in the WSL, 5-0, 6-0, and look at the difference. So that's why, you know, I say to the fans on a Sunday, I'm like, stick with us. Like, we need your support. We need you cheering us on, because the girls are growing each week, and we are growing, getting more experience, getting more belief, and we, you know, we fully deserve to be in this league, and we're fully competing in this league. We just need, yes, we need some wins. I get the pressures on for that, but I've got full belief that we are going to start turning these performances into wins.
Yeah, I hope so, because it would be lovely if we did stay in the league.
Yeah.
And I think, as you say, the margins are quite fine at the moment, and it is very different to watching Bristol the last time round at the WSL, which was just, well, it was just terrible, really. But it is a bit stressful, particularly away from home, to watch it. But enjoyable. I've enjoyed the ride so far.
Yeah,
I have to say,
I'm stressed every week. I think I'm going grey. I don't know if gingers can go grey, but I feel like I'm going grey, so I need to get back on the pitch.
I've definitely grayed.
It's hiding under here, but it's definitely.
I'm not going to blame Bristol City for that. I think it's probably something to do with my job.
After the Villa game, well, all the people in the crowd were just kind of like, you know, like, I've got a really dry mouth. Or I was just like, me and Magda were just kind of like, the entire time we were just shaking. Like the second half, we were just shaking. It felt like there was so much riding on it. And I think that's kind of the thing at the moment, isn't it? Like we're in it all the time.
Yeah, 100%.
We're always in it. And, you know, I think there's some amazing moments to come, hopefully. Well, tomorrow.
No, there is.
Tomorrow,
the big one.
I'd love a 2-0 win away. Wouldn't that be just the most... It's my favourite scoreline in football because it's so comprehensive. It's just like you've just dispatched somebody, but yeah.
Hey, I'd love a clean sheet, but yeah, like... I don't care what the score is, no, just 3 points at the end of the day would be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would be. And we have to ask about the gum shield, talking of Magda, because this is a question from Magda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our friend Magda wanted
to
know.
She's obsessed with your gum shield. and she also wanted to say that she wanted me to tell you that we love you and we want you to come back soon and we miss you. That was a particular message from Magda.
Yeah, thank you. So,
Magda, who's, 50? Comes on the away coaches.
Love that.
Yeah. But this is the question. Is it to protect you or others? So are you a biter?
I am not a biter. In my whole 35 years, I've not bitten anybody.
Well done.
But no, I am. I've obviously taken a lot of head injuries.
Right,
I've broken teeth.
Have you?
So yeah, it was just more so to protect my teeth.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I look quite scary, so I quite like the look.
Yeah, it's
because
definitely...
people see me in a gum shield and they're like, "Oh, don't want to mess with
it." Yeah, is this rugby?
And I'm like, "Well, yes, it is," because I will run at you with my head. So, I get asked it. I get asked it a lot, but it's just
I don't think I've ever. Bite.
Yes, I'm not Luis Suarez. Don't worry. But no, it's just, it's just for protection. And if it adds to me hopefully being a bit scary, then I like that.
Yeah, it's definitely... Do you want to draw some fangs on it, maybe?
Yeah.
Like designs, you know, that could be a little competition that we open
back
up, couldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, bring it on. Something across the teeth or just black and white because I'm a Newcastle fan. Yeah.
Sounds great. Okay, well, there we go, Magda.
Hope that answers your question. Yeah. And
maybe
yes.
It's not the answer she wanted. So.
She wanted you to...
To be a biter.
A vociferous biter.
Does anybody bite in the WSL? Has anybody?
No, absolutely not. I don't.
I've never seen any footage of anyone biting.
No,
it's a very pushy bunch this year, though, aren't they?
Super pushy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting a bit of aggression, I guess, hands and hair pulls and stuff like that. But there's been no
hair pulls.
Yeah, did you not see when the Everton girl pulled Meg's hair?
No, I
really?
Didn't see
that's
that.
Why, yeah. So, Piemonte, I think it was her name, when we played Everton away, she pulled Meg's pony and pulled Meg to the floor. She got a 4-match ban.
Yeah. Did she? We were watching that one at home, weren't we?
We didn't make that one. It was raining heavily, wasn't it?
The footage on the FA player was actually impossible. You couldn't see what was. You didn't know it was a football match. So
it was. Yeah, we didn't see anybody.
We didn't see that. No.
I mean, you blink and you miss it, like. But I mean, Meg's hair hurt us.
Yeah.
Ahead, so.
Wow. Yeah. No, that I mean, it. I can imagine. You know, having your hair pulled is really painful. Anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's only ever happened to me once. It wasn't good. It was a violent assault. So it wasn't very good at all. It was painful. I can imagine in the context of a football match. But I imagine it's also maybe tempting. There are a lot of ponytails, aren't there? In women's football,
I think it actually happened last week in a Reading game. A girl got a straight red. But the fact that these things, I mean, that was actually seen by the referee, but now things are getting picked up because...
Like Rachel Daly the other day.
Yes, like I seen that, like I was in the stands watching and you see it and you think, oh, nothing's ever, because nothing normally ever gets kind of done about it. But hopefully that's, you know, laying down a marker of, if you do something off the ball or in around that, you are going to get penalised. And the women's game's grown, so that's got to grow with it. So, I mean... Yeah, it was deserved.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, she was.
We like the physical nature of the game. I love it when kind of midfielders crash into one another, like Brooke Aspin. You know, that's the game that I want to see her play, is her like just crunching.
Yeah.
You know, like, and when she's like back, you're just like, oh, we've missed that.
Yeah,
you know,
it was
fair, isn't it?
At the end of the day, it's physicality, and you want to see you want to see people flying in and like doing it well, like a skillful kind of version of it, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Dropping a WWE move.
Yeah,
exactly.
No, exactly. Game. No. It's not okay. And we had a nice chant for her, didn't we?
So for Rachel Daly.
We were winding her up. I was quite pleased with that. Yeah. So
I'll not comment on that.
No, fair enough. So no more comment on the gum shield. Excuse my weird.
That was a bit peculiar.
That's what I sound like when I'm wearing it.
Actually, I will ask a question about the gum shield because I don't know if you know about the Bristol City Archive and Heritage Trust. This is probably a bit of a weird request. We may edit it out. Putting you on the spot. We're always looking for heritage objects. So when you retire, could you give us a gum shield and sign it so we can put it in a museum?
It depends when I retire because I'll probably still be walking football at some point.
Yeah.
But I'll think about it.
Yeah, there we go. We can just get a fake one.
No, it's got to be match worn. You've got to see the teeth and dent. Okay. Think about it.
DM's assuming here that you've got like a large collection of gum
shield. You've got one.
I brush it with my toothbrush if it gets some grass in that end. So. Here we are. I'm not rolling in money, so I can only afford one.
There's a sponsorship opportunity, isn't there?
Yeah. Gum shield.
To Napier. Onto her left foot. Crosses in. Header on goal! And what a goal! From Rachel Furness, in off the post, a delightful touch. And after 16 minutes, Bristol City are level. And what a moment for this record crowd inside Ashton Gate. It's Bristol City 1, Arsenal 1.
Thanks so much to BBC Radio Bristol for letting us play that clip of Fernie's finest moment in a Bristol City shirt. We're now going to return to the interview where we are talking about Bristol City as an inclusive football club.
I think, you know, the fact we're sitting here and we're sharing facilities and whether or not the guys kind of look at our results, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with the guys in the gym recently. So, yeah, the inclusion is there and, you know, we're all kind of under the same umbrella as such, and we'll want, you know, equality for everybody, and we'll just want to be, I guess, accepted in a way and just have normal conversations. So, you know, I think it just comes to having conversations and talking and just being open, and it is very inclusive here. We share the same gym, training facilities, everything. So, yeah, it is only a positive thing. And I know, obviously, some of the top women's teams have the same, you know, they share the same facilities with the men. So, yeah, it's good for football as a whole to show kind of we're, as I guess, women's football aren't just kind of fighting our fight just alone, that, you know, we're under this umbrella at HPC and we're kind of fighting the same fights. Not that we should have to fight fights, but we're on the same page, we're on the same level, and, you know, we're one club here, which I think is really, really positive. And, you know, it was fantastic me coming here and being at the same training facility as the men's team, whereas previously, I know it's changed now at Liverpool and they are based at Melwood, but we were sharing facilities with a League Two side, Tranmere, so nothing kind of connected to the guys whatsoever. So coming here, it was a breath of fresh air, and, you know, we're hoping that we can just develop and make stronger the kind of bond and relationships that we are building, and just make them stronger for the future. Mm.
And in terms of, just to stay on the question of the men's game, does it surprise you the kind of how entrenched like homophobia is in men's football among audiences and, I guess, the culture of professional men's football?
Yeah, it does. It really does. And unfortunately, when I say we shouldn't be fighting, we are going to continue to. And just going back to, I think it was yesterday, the day before, I think the Barclays put out something on Instagram about me talking about a five-a-side team, and some guy decided to comment and just chuck a penny in. And, you know, he's not interested in women's football. He's just sitting behind a keyboard and just saying what he thinks is his opinion. And, you know, sometimes I'd like to challenge that and go, okay, let's meet, let's have a conversation, because I want to challenge it head on. I want to challenge it for the younger generation coming through, which I feel like I have over my career. But I want to challenge and maybe have those difficult conversations so in 5 to 10 years' time we're having less. But I don't think we're going to stop having them. I think it's going to be a continuous battle, because unfortunately it is stuck in the heritage and the history of the game to where things are changing now, but it's maybe just not at a pace that everybody wants. And unfortunately at the minute there's a lot more people out there, kind of people trying to make change. So it's for us to have these conversations. It's for me to, in the dressing room, to have conversations, to continue to talk. And for me, I'll challenge it head on, and I'd rather have a conversation than not. So I think I don't mind fighting my teammates' battle if I'm more confident to do so. And then hopefully we can slowly make kind of change and, change some opinions. I don't think we'll change all, but that's unfortunately life, isn't it?
You know,
you can't please everybody. But I do think, we just continue to have conversations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh.
Shall I think it's you.
It's
yeah.
me, it's me. Right. So I'm not on social media at all. I don't really understand it. But DM tells me you've got a dog.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about your dog? Because we've got a dog and we're obsessed with him.
Oh, he's my best mate.
Yeah, right, okay.
Looked at him yesterday and I was like, is it possible I love a dog as much as I do?
Yeah.
We say that often.
We've got our dog called Bernie, right? We've just had the Bernieversary. He's just been with us 3 years now, right? And we were looking at him and we were like, how much do you love him? We're like, way more. Way more than anything else.
Literally anything.
Yeah, it's crazy. So,
So moving down to Bristol, I was in like a house share for the first kind of few weeks, month, because, I moved down in the transfer window within a week. So life was hectic, but the first thing was like, right, I need to get the dog down. So my parents had him to start off with, and separation anxiety, yeah, something. But I live like in a little annex now, like up on a farm. I'm paying way too much money. Like, I can't afford it, but I can afford it because I want the dog there, so I can have him there. Like, our back garden is a farmer's field. He gets so dirty every day. And every day I get him in, I'm like, oh, I can't go washing him, cleaning him. I'm like, I can't do this again. I'm like, oh, but I love you. I'll do it. I'll get up 2 hours earlier just to walk him in. But no, it's great. He's a fantastic companion and he helps me so much off the pitch. I have a bad day kind of in training or a game and I'm like, he doesn't know. I walk through the door, he wags his tail. He loves me regardless. Let's go on a walk. I love walking, clearing my head. And I think you look better when you're walking with something or somebody rather than just by myself. So, no, he's great. And, he's really helped me settle more so in Bristol and got me exploring parts of Bristol. But, yeah, he's my best mate.
Yeah, DM said that you were at Penivan, is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Lovely picture of you holding what's he called?
Bailey. Yeah.
Like, beautiful hug with Bailey up at the top of Penivan.
Up at the top of Penivan, that's amazing. Beautiful.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, it looked like a really nice day as well.
Yeah, it was so cool. Like, trying to take the photo, like, I think I had nearly got frostbite in my hands, like, but it was so cool. But no, it was clear skies and, yeah. Mm. I mean, down here, it's beautiful, like, and so close to Wales as well. Mm. I want to explore with him and go on walks and days off. I think it's very good, the mental side of things in football, because being in football, it just consumes you so much. And it's a fantastic job, and it is. And, like, you think, oh, you've got the best job in the world, but it's 24/7. You know, you can really switch off from it.
Yeah.
I leave here today, and I'm like, right, I've got to fuel now and recover from the session I've just done, and I've got to refuel for what's next. And I've got to make sure I sleep, I'm eating, I'm not staying up late. Mm-hmm. So that kind of, you don't switch off. You get maybe a couple of weeks a year, which I mean, I'm sitting here where I have got the best job in the world, but it's very intense.
Yeah.
And very disciplined as well for your, like, for your body and, like, yeah, having to eat certain things. And you said refuel. So do you mean eat?
Yes, yes. Refuel.
We call it eating.
Yeah. I mean, oh, I love eating so much.
But do you have somebody prepare your, like, tell you what you have to eat?
So we have got a nutritionist here. So I've had many a talks over the last couple of months, because with being injured, I can't just go in and eat the same foods that the girls are, because I'm not burning as much as the girls are. So I've had to adapt my nutrition, which then again, it's something else to think about. Yeah. So I'm going home, I'm prepping my meals, breakfast, lunch, dinner, I'm prepping it all. Spoke to a nutritionist to try and get the best advice to make sure I'm eating enough to get the best out of my rehab session. But then I'm not, I'd say, overeating, but I'm eating the right stuff. So I think that's a difference. At the minute, a lot of them girls can just eat anything and everything because the fueling, because they're burning that much. Whereas I just have to think a bit differently. Which I am, but I'm going to have a day off tomorrow as a little treat because I've worked hard this week.
Sounds good. You've got to let go at some point. But
not fully let go.
No. But you're right about the countryside around Bristol. It is such a nice place to live in terms of dog walks and that kind of thing. It's just, it's brilliant.
Yeah,
it's the best. It's really, you've got Devon and you've got Wales and, Somerset. It's just like, there's so much. It's great.
No, it is.
Love
it's
it.
Beautiful, and it's good for the head. And your head, you come into the workspace in a better place.
Yeah, totally.
100%. Yeah, I think mental, like, dogs and mental health, like being able to go for a walk. I mean, we were just in the Gower, weren't we? Just
yesterday,
having a bit of time off because Nat's on half term. Nice. And just, we went on a long walk for us. I imagine you probably do longer walks, but we went on a 9-mile walk, and it was, that was quite long for us. Mm-hmm. And Bernie, because he's small, he's a mini schnauzer. And it was so nice to just be outside all day and just go just walk. It's just nothing like it. It's the best.
No, I know. And at the minute, because I'm not really getting outside much, because I'm in the gym quite a bit. So going home and going out with him, it's like I'm allowed outside. It's great.
It's great.
I'm out of jail. I'm allowed out.
How old is Bailey?
Eight.
Eight.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
And you've had him since puppy.
Yeah. And honestly, he's fit as a fiddle. Yeah. Like, he's pulling cabbages out the farmer's fields at the minute. I mean, might get chased by the farmer, but
oh, that sounds nice.
I'm sure I can jog off.
Yeah. Excellent. I think now.
Oh yeah,
final,
for sure. Yeah,
final well, questions.
Yeah, final. Like, thank you so much for talking to us. By the way, it's been great to talk to you. But I'm not sure how much you can tell us. But are you going to be back soon? Are you going to be playing soon?
I mean,
soonish.
I'm very much like an open book. I've got nothing to hide. Done my hamstring. We originally thought it was, 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And that has passed. Yeah. What I've actually done is I had a partial avulsion of the hamstring tendon. So for people like me, because I was like, partial avulsion, what are you on about? Yeah. So basically I've had half my hamstring tendon pull off the bone.
Oh.
So unfortunately after 5 weeks it hadn't healed as much as we wanted, so I've went through a kind of a course of, it's called PRP, so you get kind of your own blood plasmas kind of injected back into you. So that's a stage I'm at now, to where I'm building up, trying to load the tendon, because if it doesn't load, it's an operation. I don't want an operation because that's my season over.
Yeah,
putting it as black and white and as plain as that, because I'm glad you've asked this question, because I'm getting asked every week of fans, and I'm like, I almost just want to put a statement out and be like, this is kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
Because it is quite tough. I'm three months in, and it's kind of, I'm running on the Alter G now, so it's anti-gravity. So hence why I was late, because I'm running on 90% of my body weight now, which is almost, if I have no discomfort from today's session, I'll be running on pitch next week. So then it's a build-up of pitch. But I'll say plainly, I don't know how that's going to go. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I have a great kind of return to pitch, and then I can build up to train with the girls. And my aim of putting off an operation is because I want to give myself a chance to play again this season.
Yeah.
I could have had an operation straight away, but I didn't want to end my season like that. So it's maybe taken a bit longer, but it means it potentially gives me an opportunity to play again this season. So it hasn't been straightforward. It's been very challenging and frustrating for myself because I feel good. And I didn't know that the hamstring went up that high. It was just a lot of questions, a lot of what, why. I don't even use my hamstrings. I'm not a sprinter. But yeah, stretch for a ball, yeah. Ping. Yeah, unfortunately. So I'm trying my best. Honestly, I'm working so hard to try and get back this season because I'm itching to just be a part of it, to help the girls as best as I can. So yeah, keep everything crossed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Everybody's doing... All the prayers and spells.
Yeah, keep doing it because I've had a good week this week. So keep doing it. Hopefully within the next couple of weeks we'll have a bit more of an update. But yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, speedy recovery and hope mm-hmm. you can get out of zero gravity or whatever it is you've been doing. Space training.
Don't know anything at all about sports science or anything. It's just not.
It's great. I'll break it down, right? Yeah, so, you know a treadmill?
I've got that, right? Yeah. I have a mental picture.
It's a treadmill. Yeah. And so what it is, around my waist, I'll zip myself in around my waist, and then it's a kind of a bag that blows up.
Yeah.
And so, it keeps it locked in around my waist, so the air's underneath, so the air's where my legs are.
Yeah.
And you pick what percentage you want to run on, so... 2 weeks ago, 60%, so I felt like I was just running on air. Hmm. And then you gradually build up your body percentage, so then it gradually gets you running on your full body weight. So then once you're kind of at 90%, then you're ready to run full body weight, which is run out on pitch.
That's amazing.
So it kind of builds you to see kind of if your body can tolerate, the rather than just going, go and run, and then you break down straight away. It's a gradual build. So that's what I've been doing over the last couple of weeks, as well as Jack in the gym working me very hard. So I feel really strong. I feel really good at the minute. So I've had a very good week. So next week's kind of the next challenge to kind of see how I react once I get back out on pitch. But fingers crossed. And even with one hamstring, I'd be like, Lauren, just put us on for 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Let us head a ball, score the winner. Thank you very much. Good night.
Excellent.
Sounds like a plan, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I can see it now.
Yeah.
I can see you just hopping about. Brilliant. Cool.
Okay. Right. Should we ask just the final question and then we can finish it up?
Yeah. Go for it. Yeah.
So just, it's kind of probably a question you get asked all the time about future Fernie, your plans, your hopes, your dreams. Have you got a vision for the future, or is it all just very much in the here and now? Dogs?
Yeah, I mean, if you're taking, I'd love a calf and a doggy daycare. That'd be ideal. But I love football like so much. It's a passion. I live and breathe football as a whole. So if I'm not playing it, I'm watching it. So that's why I guess I'm getting my coaching badges. I might not be any good, but I think I can only try. My coaching badges, and hopefully one day potentially go into management. I think I'm good with people and managing people, and hopefully I can relate a lot through the career I've had. Not to say it's all I'm solely focused on. I think it's important to, if things present themselves to me, to try it. Next week I go away with Northern Ireland under 19s to help on the coaching side of things, but I'm doing co-coms for the women's game against Montenegro. So I'm doing co-coms for that, trying it first time, give it a go.
It was on the radio or the telly?
TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Nice.
Ah.
Yeah, it'll be good. But
we've dreamed of this, haven't we?
We would love to do this.
Let us.
We go up on the gantry and talk to Radio Bristol after the game sometimes on the little microphones. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Just holding the microphone is enough, really. Just like the little microphone.
Yeah. No, 100%. And yeah, like I love the game. So if I can stay in some capacity, I will. I don't know what that looks like, but so future me, unsure, but I know it'll be just given back in some way. And yeah, see what opportunities present themselves.
And I guess with women's football, there's a lot of moving around, short-term contracts. I think the contract's a bit longer now, but yeah, it seems like that it's hard to plan, I'd imagine, for...
So hard. Yeah, I've got no real roots. I've got my family back in the northeast, but you just rent places. I've not been able to buy. So yeah, maybe have a bit of stability off the pitch first, which then will allow me to give back in some way. But yeah, finding my feet and knowing, right, this is me for maybe the next 10 years rather than go 6 months, a year, two years at a push.
It's really hard.
Yeah, it is, but it's part and parcel of the game. It's kind of what we go into knowing it's going to be like, and that's the thing that is improving. But I'm not on that side of that yet. Well, I'm not going to be on that side because I'm going to be retired. but yeah, that's the stressful thing, I guess, when you're coming out of contract, which I am.
No, I can imagine. It's stressful. Well, I mean, I think everybody who supports Bristol City would just love you to be around for as long as possible in whatever capacity. But obviously, we don't make that decision.
It's not our call, is it?
You know, but it's not. But yeah, if we were the decision makers, we'd be like, just give Fernie a job.
Yeah. So Smithy, if you're listening, just give me a job.
We don't know if she listens.
She does listen. Actually, I imagine she doesn't. Although Nat did.
I did call something the other day.
Did come up with the formation against Villa, and it did happen.
Yeah, formation personnel.
Okay.
And then it happened. So
I'll tell out a listener this episode.
Yeah.
I'm sure, yeah. This is definitely worth a listen.
Yeah, this is one of the best ones, isn't it? It's not just me and you and a dog barking in the background.
It's definitely one of the best ones. It's been great. I hope you... You know, best of luck for the future and have that stability. And you'll smash it wherever you go. And
with your head.
Yeah. No, I will. Give me a job or I'm going to head you.
With my gum shield on, obviously.
Well, that was absolutely lovely. Thank you so much again to Rachel Furness. I can't believe we actually spoke to Rachel Furness for like, you know, nearly
52 minutes
about life. Well, about football, really. Mostly about football. Gum shields and all of those things. So thank you so much, Fernie, for joining us. We really appreciate it. And yeah, just wow. That was great. Do you think we'll get any other players, Nat, wanting to come on after that?
Surely. They'll be queuing up, won't they?
Knocking down our door.
Yeah. Do we think we need to just say thank you for the cup of tea as well?
Thank you to the cup of tea. In fact, thank you to Noah, and I'm Noah Doherty. Thank you very much for organising that, because let's be honest, it wouldn't have happened really without his facilitation. And thank you to the RHPC for giving us a room.
That was very nice. And we could hear the gym in the background, couldn't we? So we're feeling quite pumped the whole time.
It was pumping.
Yeah,
it was pumping.
I enjoyed that a lot.
It kind of made me want to do some exercise.
So we hope you've enjoyed this very special episode of the Bristol City Vixen cast, and hope you can join us next time when
we go again.